RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Consumer confidence plunged last month. In fact, it plummeted by the biggest month-to-month amount in more than 4 years. The Conference Board says its Consumer Confidence Index, which measures Americans' assessment of current economic conditions, sank far below the expectations of most economists. Pope Francis felt well enough this morning to approve new decrees for possible saints, the Vatican suggesting he is getting work done despite his hospitalization for double pneumonia. Confusion still reigns in Washington over those emails sent to federal workers telling them to outline their jobs or be fired.
Federal workers in limbo after confusing and contradictory guidance about that ultimatum and midnight deadline from billionaire Elon Musk, saying employees must respond to an email with a list of what they did last week or lose their job. The president calling that idea genius.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill. A vote in the UN, the U.S. refusing to blame Russia for the invasion of Ukraine. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Two people have died after an apparent gas leak in the township of Oakdale. The Monroe County 911 Communications Center received a call reporting the possibility of multiple deaths and a gas leak at an address on Hobby Road Sunday night around 5. The caller reported they had gone to the residence as they had not heard from the occupants. When they arrived and entered the home, they located a juvenile in the home that was unresponsive and noted the strong odor of gas. They were able to remove a female juvenile from the home. However, life-saving measures were unsuccessful, and she was pronounced dead at the scene. Upon arrival, emergency personnel were able to shut off the gas to the house and make it safe to enter. Inside the residence, an adult male was also found to be deceased, as well as a dog and cat. The incident remains under investigation. However, investigators were able to determine the source of the gas, and there is no information at this time that foul play was involved. Following a traffic incident in the town of Viroqua late Saturday afternoon, Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the arrest of Dustin Andrew Mudd, 36, of Viroqua. The Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center received a report of a blue pickup truck being operated erratically on U.S. Highway 14 near County Road Y at approximately 4:30. The vehicle was traveling south toward the city of Viroqua, and Viroqua police quickly responded to assist the Sheriff's Office. The vehicle was stopped on North Main Street in the city of Viroqua. Mudd was taken into custody for operating while intoxicated and felony bail jumping. Traffic on U.S. Highway 14 was heavy due to the finish of the WIAA High School Sectional Wrestling Tournament in Westby. Any motorist who encountered this vehicle Saturday afternoon between La Crosse and Viroqua and witnessed traffic violations are urged to contact the Vernon County Sheriff's Office at 608-637-2123. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers are in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. At the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where over 300 of the top college football players will work out and interview with teams, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, doing interviews with the media, asked about free agents like defensive end Myles Garrett or wide receiver Davante Adams. A number of Wisconsin Badger players here, like Jack Nelson. College basketball, Wisconsin slipped from 11th to the 12th ranked team in the nation in the AP Top 25 after that loss in overtime to Oregon. They play Washington tonight at the Kohl Center. Marquette now ranked 22nd after losing four of their last six games. They host Providence tomorrow night at 6. The Bucks on the road in Houston tonight against the Rockets. Baseball, Brewers outfielder Blake Perkins says he was taking live batting practice against Freddy Peralta when a fastball struck him just below the right knee, fracturing his shin bone. Perkins expects to be out until early May. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and still unseasonably warm today with high temperatures reaching the upper 40s. We've got rain rolling in overnight tonight and lingering through early tomorrow morning and leaving us with a mostly cloudy day, but still mild with highs in the mid-40s. And how about another 50-degree day possible on Friday? I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who talks health and the Oscars. And mob expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk the mafia and urban legends. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Tuesday, February 25th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin is $3.17, the same as yesterday. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.11. No change since yesterday, but that is up 45 cents since last week.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We have a very, very busy show coming up for you today. State Senator Brad Paff is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk about the right to repair bill. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's been kicking around for a while. It's especially important to Wisconsin farmers who want to be able to fix their own equipment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't think we'd have to have a bill to do that.
But when you look at it and you read it, you're like, yeah, this makes sense.
This makes sense. So Brad is going to explain what is in this measure and the likelihood or not of whether that will move forward in the Republican-controlled legislature here in Wisconsin. So State Senator Brad Paff joining us after the 10:30 news next hour at 11 o'clock. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here. Of course, since the fall of Roe, some states now no longer have any exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of a mother in order to give her the health care that she needs. And now the amount of the number of cases involving sepsis are way on the rise.
Yeah.
This is not good. Dr. Lierley will be joining us to talk about that after the 11 o'clock news. At 11:30, the last half hour of the show. Not everyone likes this, but I think it's important that we take a moment to breathe.
Yes.
And to laugh just for a brief time.
And to also extinguish the fire that's on our hair.
Yeah, that just isn't the way that we do things.
We don't do those things here, and we hear from people who have their thoughts, ideas, suggestions, and that's great. Please contact us via the text line. Call us, email us, janesays@civicmedia.us. Leave a comment on the live stream. But the ripping the Band-Aid moment off is here is to say it's Jane's show. It's our show. And we feel...
I think it's important that we laugh.
Exactly.
And I realize that there are a lot of things that aren't funny right now.
Absolutely.
Most things are not funny right now. But I still think it's important that we all just have a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, as you said, all of the hair on fire that we could do through the whole show. There's no question about it. But we like to try and lighten things up a little bit
yeah.
in the last half hour of the program. So at 11:33, This is the question, and I think it's a pretty easy one, but I think it will have some interesting responses. Do you read?
Yeah.
Books, newspapers, articles? Do you read? And if not, how do you absorb your information?
Mm-hmm.
There's an article in The Atlantic talking about essentially that.
Yeah.
Whether or not folks are reading in this country anymore. And we will wrap it up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Royal Flush Edition. Greg found this one. It's good. Stick around for that. And as well, if you ever have a thing you think should not be not related to politics, send it into janesays@civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off with this, though, because we spent a lot of time on it yesterday. The town halls that some Republicans have been having around the country getting a lot of hot response.
Yeah, it's getting real tense.
Getting tense in some areas. Not everyone excited about Elon Musk, the unelected co-president, coming in and slashing programs that, shocking, actually affect some of these politicians' constituents.
Yeah.
So after some of these town halls last week where they got a fair amount of pushback, have they moderated at all on this? You must be joking. Politico headline reads, House Republican unfazed by protests. We are moving forward with the cuts. Many GOP lawmakers insist their constituents are all supportive of Elon Musk's moves.
Well, scientifically, no, because we just listen to videos of people booing and screaming at their representatives. And
but, you know, I look at different accounts on Twitter.
Yeah.
And there is support for this.
Absolutely.
There absolutely is. But it also seems to be there's support for it as long as it doesn't affect me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all behind these cuts as long as it's somebody else losing their job.
Yeah.
Then it's just fine. And I found this clip, which I found very interesting. Marie Harf is a commentator for Faux News. And she was on The Five, I believe, yesterday with this comment about Elon's firings. Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
There are both legal problems, and I think we're hearing that from some of the unions. There are contracts that have been negotiated. But more importantly, this is just the latest in a string of attacks on public servants that have happened for the last month. I spent 10 years in the federal government. Most of the people I worked with at the CIA or the State Department were hardworking, patriotic, dedicated Americans. These federal workers aren't just in Washington. They're around the country. We had 1,000 Veterans Affairs employees fired by DOGE in the last few weeks, including some that manned the suicide hotline for veterans. We had FAA safety officers mistakenly fired, and people that work on avian flu. The reason our eggs are so expensive is because of bird flu. So moving fast and making public service employees feel like the enemy and make it seem like it's something that's dishonorable is very difficult for people across the country. And that's why you see people in red states and red districts going to town halls with their members and saying, I have honorably served my country for 20 years, and I got fired for no reason by Elon Musk, who, by the way, makes millions and millions of dollars from the federal government.
Yes,
himself.
He does.
And he's firing people who make $50,000 a year for no reason. So I think morally, this has been really disheartening to see how they're going at someone so rich as Elon is going after public service employees and not doing it with a scalpel, not having their managers be the one to do it. DOGE isn't managing these people. And at the same time, you know, people across the country can't pay their mortgages or put food on the table for their kids because they got fired from a job they thought had job security. That is not electorally or morally a good plan, I think, for Republicans.
$50,000 is not making a huge amount of money.
Oh my gosh, especially if you have if you make $50,000 a year and you have one child, you better hope your spouse is making 50 or 100 grand a year, and that's still not even that much to keep up with everything.
Right.
I mean, good on her. Good. Who is this again?
Her name is, she's some contributor on Faux News, Maria Harf.
Maria Harf. Maria. I mean, this.
She'll never be back on there, by the way.
Well, they always like to have a liberal on there to make them feel uncomfortable. So I think that, you know, that was a 100% bipartisan statement. That didn't favor the left or the right. That was just a statement of fact. And this notion that Elon with his chainsaw coming in is the best path forward. No, it's not. This is just, we're what, a month and some change in?
Yeah.
Imagine what we're going to look like In 2 months and three 6 months. 6 months. 6 months when, as James Vanderloo said last week, we're going to see the real effects of those tariffs come through as well. So not just the cutting, but the tariffs. And CNN just dropped a survey, a poll, I should say. Americans aren't happy right now because the prices aren't coming down.
Inflation is up.
Inflation is up. The stock market looks bad. And it's just not this glamorous life that, what did he say he would do on day one? Drop prices. Mm-hmm. Day one's come and gone many times over.
But he's addressed the important things, Greg. Like the body of water south of Texas.
The Gulf of Greg.
Yeah.
We can all change names if we want.
Not all Republicans are happy with the cuts. Republican Representative Jeff Van Drew from New Jersey said, quote, don't touch seniors' Medicare and don't cut Medicaid because it isn't just for lazy welfare people. It's for real people. And that's the new Republican Party, a populist party, a party of working people, a party of blue-collar people.
You could have just stopped at don't cut Medicaid. You didn't have to add the lazy part in. I mean, yes, he's right. It's not. But that's how they have framed it.
Yes.
For decades.
Yes. Lazy moochers.
Lazy moochers.
Lazy moochers.
Takers.
Yes.
Not makers, Jane.
Takers.
Takers.
Not everyone, though, agrees with that Republican. Another Republican, Missouri Representative Mark Alford, also had a town hall last week. His response to people angry about all the cuts happening in their communities, here is what he said. Just because you have a government job doesn't mean it's a lifetime appointment like the Supreme Court. That's a whole nother issue. So I would encourage anyone who finds themselves in this situation to realize we're going to get this economy turning again. There are jobs available. God has a plan and purpose for your life. So you can't pay your mortgage, you guys. Don't worry. God's got a plan.
Yeah, Johnson Bank, I lost my job this month. But they said God has a plan. So can I just, am I fine with that? Nope. God has a plan.
Do I have to pay my mortgage?
I still have to pay my mortgage. Okay, good to know. Good to know. Good to know. Good to know. All right. I guess God's plan is paying my mortgage. All right, cool. You know, that's just so we need civil servants like crazy. And also we can't, I'd love to step back into the ring of the economy was awesome in this country a year ago.
It was.
It was hard for some people.
And inflation was up.
Inflation was up, but not as much as they were telling us. They were saying 20%. That's a lie. But where do they want the economy to be then? That's what I want to know.
We're going to continue this discussion and talk about some of the savings the Trump administration has found and some of the spending that they've been doing while they're cutting big time for things that affect you and me and our neighbors.
Regardless of party.
But they are shelling out for other things, some big ticket items. We'll have details on the other side. Stay with us. And again, if you'd like to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right after the 10:30 news, Wisconsin State Senator Brad Paff going to join us to talk about the right to repair bill. This is something that will be good for Wisconsin farmers. Mm-hmm. It amazes me that this is a thing.
Yeah.
But it is. And so we're going to talk about Senator Paff's measure that he has co-authored and whether or not this will actually pass through the Republican-controlled legislature in Wisconsin. That is coming up right after the 10:30 news. Before the break, we were talking about DOGE and all the cuts and the protests that kind of broke out at a bunch of town halls last week. Not everyone, shall we say, is happy with this. Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of people I've seen on Twitter going, go, cut deeper, do more. Hasn't hurt them yet.
No.
Apparently. Hasn't touched them yet. But I think it's important on the flip side, because the Trump administration, on the one hand, all about cutting and savings for the American people. That's who this is for. Mm-hmm. What is the Trump administration spending money on, one might ask? And one would reply, Kristi Noem says $200 million Department of Homeland Security ad campaign thanking Trump was his idea.
Say that number again.
$200
million. $200
million. Donald Trump's Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says Trump instructed her to make ads that, quote, thank me for closing the border. Now, I haven't seen, I don't watch a lot of broadcast television. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see any of these ads. Apparently, they're running all over Fox News. Well,
shocking.
you gotta make sure they get, you know, they get their beak wet.
Yeah.
Gotta pay them off.
Well, they also have to still pay out a $1 billion lawsuit they lost.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Yeah.
Kristi Noem was speaking at the CPAC conference last week. She recalled Trump telling her after she was nominated, I want you to do ads for the border, and I want you to do those everywhere. I want them around the world. I want you to tell people not to come to this country if they're going to come here illegally. Quote, according to Kristi Noem, we're not going to let the media tell this story because the media never tells the truth. We're going to run a marketing campaign making sure Americans know the truth of what you're doing. So $200 million we've spent for an ad, by the way, in English.
Well, thank God.
Christy Noem says Trump instructed her he didn't want to be in the ads himself, saying instead, Christy, I want you in the ads. I want your face in the ads. But I want the first ad. I want you to thank me. I want you to thank me for closing the border. And she recalled, I said, yes, sir. I will thank you for closing the border. So if you notice in that ad, we thanked him for closing the border. Our tax dollars at work, folks.
Yeah.
Don't you feel better?
It's funny. It's like the notion that he slashed and burned through millions, if not tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars already. And we just spent it on a thank you card.
To himself.
Yeah.
Make sure you thank me. Make sure you thank me.
God, the level of narcissism we're dealing with right now is like, he has to study his brain one day. Just so disgusting.
Sue from Franklin, listening on WAUK, when we're talking about cuts for thee, but not for me. It's like some of these Republicans have been told that they don't have to worry about Doge cuts. They'll be safe no matter what. I think you have a really good point there, Sue.
I don't think that's, I think that he's going to cut and cut and cut, and then he's going to look at the Congress and say, where can we cut your budgets next?
Well, if they want to cut budgets and they want to save money, how many staffers does the average elected official in Washington have?
Well, they have a lot. They have, because they have their staffers in Washington, they have their staffers across their home state. They have, I mean, I'll look it up right now.
Shouldn't they be tightening their belts, Greg Buck? Do they need more than two? Why would you need more than two?
That is a question that I'll bet you Elon's going to be asking in the next few months.
Yeah, then we're going to hear some screeching once it affects them. However, we're already seeing it on Fox, on Faux News, I should say, Jesse Waters pleading on air on behalf of his friend who got laid off by Doge. He was doged, according to Jesse Waters. Waters says the man was worthy of his job, unlike the rest of those good-for-nothing public servants who work to keep Americans safe. Lots of Republican lawmakers have been too cowed in to rein in Trump and Musk, so instead they're asking for special exemptions, which is what I said was going to happen from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you're going to see this happen with FEMA dollars, too.
Well, you're also...
If you don't suck up, you're not getting any money.
Mississippi will get FEMA dollars with no contingencies, whereas California, New York, Minnesota...
Yep.
Who knows? Maybe even us, because we're not good enough.
855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack, we got about 90 seconds left. Jack, go ahead. Thanks for joining us. Jack, are you there? Nope, not hearing him. Jack, give us a call back if you like. 855-752-4842. Even though House Republicans say they are unfazed by the recent protests, don't stop.
Of course they do, because they don't care what they're...
But my point is, don't stop. We talked to Luann Bird yesterday. Oh. Keep making those phone calls.
Yes.
Keep making... Send them a letter. Send them a handwritten letter.
Where do they go, Jane, to find out more information about
that? It's super easy. If you do not know how to contact your lawmaker, just go to myvotes.wi.gov, type in your address. All of your elected officials will come up, including their phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So give them a call.
Yeah.
Even though I understand from some things I saw on social media yesterday, Ron Johnson's mailbox is full.
Well, he's too busy voting against the veterans of this country, but that's another conversation for another day.
He needs another staffer to go through those voice messages. All right, we have news coming up next, and then State Senator Brad Peff is going to join us. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Division of Motor Vehicles, has noted a troubling trend in the number of scams by vehicle sellers posing as car dealers online. DMV dealer and agent section chief Mara Shifalakwa explained an individual creates a website or social media profile claiming to be a Wisconsin dealership. Stock images or photos of real vehicles and real Wisconsin dealerships are included to make the website seem legitimate. However, there is nothing legitimate about it. The advertised vehicles may be listed at below market value, causing interested consumers to take the bait. There are similarities with each case known as dealer cloning, fake websites or social media pages, cars priced below market value, and no in-person contact with the seller. Wisconsin DMV is aware of multiple cases that follow this pattern with fraudulently created websites or Facebook profiles alleging to be legitimate Wisconsin dealerships. Shifalakwa said in many cases the fraudster interacts with the consumer by phone or email. The buyer might receive a bill of sale and several photos of a vehicle and agree to purchase by wire transfer, believing the seller will ship the car to them. After the wire transfer is completed, the seller stops all contact, and the customer eventually realizes they've become a victim of fraud. If you are the victim of a scam involving a motor vehicle sale, you may speak to Wisconsin DOT's DMV Dealer and Agent section by filing a dealer complaint at wisconsindmv.gov/dealer-complaint. Report internet-based crime at ic3.gov. Consider filing a police report with the local law enforcement agency where you reside. For more information, visit wisconsindmv.gov. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America: Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million-plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Thor: Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Long Legs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place, Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and still unseasonably warm today with high temperatures reaching the upper 40s. We've got rain rolling in overnight tonight and lingering through early tomorrow morning and leaving us with a mostly cloudy day, but still mild with highs in the mid-40s. And how about another 50-degree day possible on Friday? I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, "I'm taking your backyard." You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers is back for a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
Come in and leave your mind open.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment, too, if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform shedding more users than a molting parrot. Next hour at this time, we're going to lighten it up. We always do for the last half hour of the show. We like to call it our audio sorbet segment. And we're going to just talk about if you read.
Yeah.
Do you read books? Do you get your information some other way?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that there's a big article in The Atlantic about it. We will talk about that next hour at this time. Do you read? Do you enjoy reading, or is it work? Is it a chore? Right now, though, delighted to be joined by Wisconsin State Senator Brad Paff, coming to us live from our fabulous studio at the world headquarters of Civic Media in Madison. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. And I do like to read, but I also like to get on my iPhone and work out and listen to some podcasts.
That works, too.
There you go.
Podcasts. Yeah. Yep. That's the thing.
Yeah, I do. But well, this is a beautiful world headquarters, and thank you for the work that you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Really appreciate it. Well, let's talk this. We do a segment, Senator, called This Shouldn't Be a Thing at the end of the show. And to me, this should not even have to be a thing. The headline reads from our Civic Media News Department, Wisconsin lawmakers introduce right to repair bill for farmers. So that means farmers right now cannot fix their own stuff. That shouldn't be.
That shouldn't be, Jane. That should not be. That's absolutely right. I'm a farm boy from Western Wisconsin, and I can tell you this, is that you're always up against the clock when you're farming. You're trying to get that harvest in before it rains, or you're trying to get that harvest in before you got to milk the cows. And you can imagine that you've purchased over $100,000 for a tractor, or $500,000 for a combine to harvest your corn or soybeans, and when it breaks down, you don't have the right to fix it. You don't have the right to repair it. Instead, you have to reach out to the authorized service department from the manufacturer in order to get permission to take that in and get it fixed. Well, that's not how things work on the farm. You need to be able to fix your equipment. And so this is a no-brainer. I've introduced legislation to allow farmers to repair their own equipment. And I am proud to say that our Attorney General, Josh Call, has also joined a lawsuit with other states in order to force these farm equipment manufacturers to allow our hardworking family farmers to repair their own equipment.
Well, and that's what my question was going to be to you, and because that answered it. This seemed like almost a getting together of these companies saying, "Well, we're going to make it that if you try to repair your own equipment, you void your warranty, and that way you have to come to us where we use the expensive stuff. We have our people, but like almost like a collusion type of situation." And as Jane said, I bet you most people would say when they found out farmers couldn't work on their own equipment, they'd say, What do you mean they can't?
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Greg. It's a head scratcher because, people like to work on their own equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, this type of stuff is happening not just with agriculture equipment. It's also happening with automobiles as well as motorcycles and small engines. So there is legislation that addresses these small engines and motorcycles. My legislation that I have is for agriculture equipment. But this is something that, quite frankly, is taking place across the marketplace right now. And I think we all recognize the fact that some of America's great innovations took place as far as tinkering within a garage. May it be look at what's happened as far as the creation of Silicon Valley and what that's led to. But I think we've all heard the story about Steve Jobs and his friends tinkering in a garage, or William Heward and Packard. They worked in their garage and they created, what we've got. And so this is something we should not have. Firmly believe this is bipartisan support. We're going to see if we can get it through this legislature. I think all of us that are listening to this radio program recognize it's not easy to get anything through the legislature right now here in Madison. But this really is a question is, where do you stand and who do you support? I mean, the family farmers out there that are working every day to provide food and fiber to all of us, or quite frankly, practices that do not allow those family farmers to fix their own equipment. I know where I stand, and I think this legislation is important, and quite frankly, it is something we should get done quite quickly.
Yeah, I just don't understand why this should be... there's hair ripping on either side on why this shouldn't just sail right through. But I am going to assume that there are some on the other side of it who are like, well, the manufacturers of this equipment, they need to be protected.
And, you know, and there's some merit to that. And that's why I wrote the legislation to make sure that we protect the intellectual property that has been created there. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you do protect the computer codes and all of that. So what would happen is this, or what does happen right now, is that you need to call the equipment manufacturer and you need to either have them come out and fix the piece of equipment on the farm in the field, or they will sell you the app. And that app that they will sell you that you can connect to your computer can cost thousands of dollars. So what this legislation does is it says, hey, boys, let's bring down this price here a little bit. I mean, what we have now is that since I can't, my equipment is broke down and I've got 500 acres of corn to harvest, you know, right now it's monopolistic. In my opinion, they can basically say, yeah, we'll sell you the app, but it's going to cost this amount of money.
Yep.
It can be up into thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that is not the way this should be. You know, I understand you developed this and you put thousands and millions of dollars into developing this equipment. But the thing is you need to be able to sell the app at a reasonable price. And of course, all of us can debate what a reasonable price is. But right now we have a situation that literally your tractor is frozen or your combine is frozen in that field. And you cannot fix that unless you reach out and you purchase the app. And that is something that, you know, I just have a problem with. And I know that the farmers that I represent in Western Wisconsin are scratching their heads and saying, hey, we're good people. We want to play by the rules. Yeah. But I mean, what are the rules here?
Yeah.
The rules is that the thing is frozen and I got to buy your app. And so let's do something about it.
If you're just joining us, State Senator Brad Paff is here, and we are talking about the right to repair measure for Wisconsin farmers, which you wouldn't think should be has to be a thing, but it is. The bill requires manufacturers to make repair documentation, data, parts, and tools available to owners and mechanics at fair costs without compromising trade secrets. And as you said, Senator, so my combine breaks down in the middle of my field, and I don't have the app, and I don't have the money for the app. It's simply not feasible that this company is going to have someone right down the road who can come out to my farm in the next 20 minutes and fix this.
Well, that's the other thing is that, again, then, you know, if you don't have the money to purchase the app, you need to call the equipment manufacturer. And then he or she, and they're generally very responsive people, but again, they have scheduling issues like anyone else. Mm-hmm. And if, again... when corn is ready, corn is ready. Yeah. It needs to be harvested. Yeah. When hay is ready, it needs to be harvested that given day. And so this is not something you can just push down the line for a week or two. And that is why it's time sensitive. And so we've got to figure this out. The state of Colorado has passed similar legislation. In fact, the legislation that I drafted is similar to the legislation that's been signed into law in the state of Colorado. But, you know, we're not alone here in this state. Wisconsin obviously is in America's Dairyland, but I mean, we're surrounded by big state agriculture states like Illinois, right. Iowa, and Minnesota. You know, and those legislators in those states are hearing from their farmers as well.
Well, and I think it's important to point out that these big corporate operations are much different economically than smaller family-owned farms. These big corporate farms might have the money to be able to get the app for thousands and thousands of dollars, but a lot of small independent farmers, all of their cash is tied up in their farm.
That's exactly right, Jane. That's exactly right. So what happens if all of a sudden your combine is stalled in the middle of your field? You do need, and you can't get a timely service. Then you reach out to a neighbor or somebody down the road and say, hey, can you bring your combine over? Can we get this taken care of? Well, you know, yes, we have neighborly love and support in the countryside. But I think we all recognize what this means. And, you know, I guess for those that don't live on a farm, just imagine the fact that you're out there and you're plowing your snow and you need to get to work. And it's 6:30 in the morning and it's been snowing all night and you need to get your snow plowed. And all of a sudden your snow plow stops and it doesn't move unless you all of a sudden have the app to fix it. Well, you're either going to start shoveling or you're going to call your neighbor, or quite frankly, you're not going to make it to work right on time. And this is the kind of situation that we just need to think about. And that's why I like the segment of your show. It's like, what's going on here? Where did this come from? And I think it's a good segment. And, you know, I'm happy to talk about this piece of legislation. And I'm sure there's other things that we can scratch our head and say, how did we ever get to a point like this? But this is where we're at right now.
Well, that actually brings up my point/question is that we talk about, it's a very simple idea, very logical, taking care of our farmers, the backbone of this state and many other states in this country. But the fight to get it passed will probably be difficult, don't you? I mean, the way things are going in the legislature, especially now when, you know, they think the number one problem in the state is voter ID. But, like, really, it's things like this that you're talking about. How difficult do you think it's going to be able to push this legislation through to the governor's desk?
Well, it shouldn't be difficult, Dan, Greg. I agree with you. It shouldn't be at all. But what's happening right now is it does seem that the legislature seems to be, you know, kind of on a holding pattern, and not just on agriculture issues, but just issues overall. I mean, I can point to the fact that we in Wisconsin should at least be having oversight hearings when it comes to bird flu and what we can do with the price of eggs.
Yep.
I mean, we do have a egg-laying industry in this state, which is part of Wisconsin's agriculture economy. We should be having this conversation, at least what can we do to make sure that not just protect the current flocks that we have in this state and what is being done, but then what can we do when it comes to the overall all consumer cost?
Mm-hmm.
But again, Greg, we're not even having those conversations.
Yeah.
And so maybe that can be the next topic of, you know, that you want to talk about. But there's a lot that we should be focusing on. But in my opinion, something like this makes an awful lot of sense, because what we haven't discussed yet is this piece of legislation also helps the local mechanic that's down the road, that's been in your community for generations, yep, probably,
mm-hmm,
somebody you trust, and employs local people. But again, if you have a situation where you can only have your equipment fixed by the manufacturer or by purchasing the app yourself, then it becomes a matter of what happens to this competitive practices within your local economies and what happens to your, mm-hmm, small local neighborhood mechanic.
Yeah.
State Senator Brad Paff is our guest, and we're talking about the Right to Repair bill, which hopefully will move through the Wisconsin legislature. I think it's really interesting, Senator, that you mentioned how we're not doing any oversight about bird flu right now. I just feel like on one side of the aisle, it's almost as if I don't see it and if I don't acknowledge it, then it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and it's really too bad, because I think we all acknowledge the fact that we should not be paying $6 or $7 for a dozen eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at the same time, you know, there is oversight hearings that can take place to make sure. And there is. I have full confidence that the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture is doing their job when it comes to surveillance. But the thing is, as we know, you know, bird flu has impacted not just, you know, Wisconsin's consumers, but it's we've seen the culling of a number of different chicken flocks throughout this nation. So what more can be done? What should be done? These are topics that I am interested in. My constituents are interested in, and I appreciate the opportunity to come before Civic Media and speak with the two of you. So thank you.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation if you have the time, sir. We got one more segment. We'll be right back after this. If you have a question for State Senator Brad Paff, 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network. And on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Ollie, we see you on the line. Hang on for just a little bit. Our guest is State Senator Brad Paff, coming to us from Civic Media's world headquarters in Madison. And we are talking about the right to repair bill for Wisconsin farmers so they don't either have to call the manufacturer when one of their pieces of equipment breaks down so they can send someone out to fix it. Or the other option is to spend thousands and thousands of dollars for an app to help them fix their own equipment. Andrew from Maine, Senator, has a comment on the live stream listening on WAUK. If the manufacturer is forbidding self-repair, are they then liable for the loss of farmer production because of faulty equipment? Let me guess, I would say no.
Yeah, Jane, you'd be right, but that's a great question, and I do appreciate the question. And as was mentioned in the last, or we talked about in the last segment, while I have a piece of legislation, right to repair for farm equipment, there is legislation for small engine that is just as important, and this would be things like chainsaws as well as snow blowers and pressure washers and you name it. The thing is that you either have to buy the service agreement from the manufacturer, and then the manufacturer would either repair it themselves or they would send you to an authorized repair facility. Or if you don't want to do that, you can spend, and it depends on what kind of equipment that you're purchasing.
Sure.
You can purchase the app, and then you yourself can go in and fix that piece of equipment. But then again, there is a clause in there that says that if you fix something wrong, then you may lose your entire warranty as well. So our piece of legislation is addressing this. As I mentioned, Attorney General Josh Call from Wisconsin has also filed suit against John Deere, which is a major farm equipment manufacturer. And I do know that before the Biden administration, before that came to an end, the Federal Trade Commission also moved forward in regards to filing a complaint against the farm equipment manufacturer.
Well, we certainly hear so much from both sides on how much we love our farmers and how important our farmers are. And then when it comes to actually, I don't know, putting money where your mouth is to back up our farmers, some of them disappear.
That's absolutely right, Jane. And that's something that, again, you know, people know me, they know my deep rural roots and where I'm from. And I'm proud to wear right on my sleeve my farm background. And this makes complete sense. If you spend $100,000 or more for a piece of farm equipment, which many farmers do on a daily basis,
yep,
and you cannot repair that, I mean, that is just absolutely wrong. But as I said, I mean, if you're buying a chainsaw, quite frankly, you should be able to fix that as well. This is just, I don't understand it. We know how to build things in Wisconsin. We know how to manufacture things. We know how to repair things. And not allowing people to tinker with the products that they have is wrong.
Ollie from the Northwoods has been very patient on the phone. Good morning, Ollie. Did you have a question or a comment for Senator Paff?
Well, I have a comment, actually, and I agree with everything he's saying. And I listen to the Farm Report most mornings, and this morning there was a senator on there who, because of the way he talked about Governor Evers, I assumed that he was a Republican. And he got on there and touted what a good job he felt like he was doing and other senators, because they were on the board for the FFA and supporting them. Yet in the end, if they're not willing to pass legislation that actually helps the farmer, what good does it do for them to be on the board spouting how much they care about the farmers?
Yep, Ollie, words are cheap, right?
That's exactly right. Ollie, thank you for your interest in agriculture and your support. Please reach out to your local state senator and your state representative and ask them to support, co-sponsor the right to repair legislation that I, State Senator Brad Paff, have introduced.
Well, yeah, do something about it instead of just giving it lip service, which, you know, it seems to be that there seems to be a lot of that that goes on. Oh, yes, we support our farmers. Oh, yes, we want to help them. It's the same thing we hear about our veterans, except when it comes time to actually fund programs that help these groups.
Yeah, and that's the important thing. And again, we're sitting right now in the Wisconsin State Senate, in which we are not having oversight hearings, nor are we on the state Senate floor addressing issues that I believe can not only help our family farmers, but help our residents throughout this state. And we need to get to work.
Yes.
And I just want to add one thing about bird flu. There was one lawmaker, Republican lawmaker, I believe from Oklahoma, who said we shouldn't have to worry about bird flu because chickens don't fly. I got news for that guy. Other birds fly and can fly near your non-flying chickens.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Jane. And the thing is that, you know, again, I just go back to the fact that we at least could be having oversight hearings in the Wisconsin State Senate,
yep,
addressing issues that impact not just our family farmers and rural residents, but kitchen table issues that impact all of us in the state of Wisconsin. And we all have heard loud and clear that the 2024 election was, you know, economic based. Well, let's get to work and help grow this economy and help our residents of this state.
State Senator Brad Paff, thank you so very much for joining us. We would love to have you back. Stay close.
Welcome, Matt.
You are listening. We have news coming up next. When we return, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. We're global if you got the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn, and Harvey Kay has a toast to Thomas Paine. Plus, how are federal layoffs impacting the great state of Wisconsin? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Earl
Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 20 civil service employees have resigned from Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. They say their technical expertise was being used to dismantle critical public services, which they don't agree with. Meantime, there's still widespread confusion about the job security of thousands of federal government employees.
Federal workers in limbo. After confusing and contradictory guidance about that ultimatum and midnight deadline from billionaire Elon Musk, saying employees must respond to an email with a list of what they did last week or lose their job. The president calling that idea genius.
ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott. Consumer confidence taking a nosedive. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index shows measures on how Americans feel about the overall economy. This week's report shows the largest decline in confidence since August of 2021. For the first time since last June, the expectations index was below the threshold that usually signals a recession. This is ABC News.